This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. So what's been happening over your way?
Not too much. That today we had the Rotorua 5A pairs, won by Mike Curry and Blair Fisher from Richard Solomon at Ana Kalma. The news on NZ Bridges that we have a brand new Platinum Grandmaster, only the second one we've ever had.
Cool. Who is it?
Can't you guess? It's Grant Jarvis. So Grant Jarvis is a Platinum Grandmaster. He's made it to the zenith.
Really? I was playing bridge with a lady in Thailand, and her name is Jo Jarvis. You know, we're talking about these finesse bridge clubs. That was her 30th bridge trip that she's had.
Well, how many are you up to?
Three.
Oh, okay. So are you saying this lady is 10 times the bridge player you are?
Oh, no. She's just spent way more money on these bridge holidays than I have.
So well done to Mariana. She won a handbag. So you came out on top in the pairs event. How many sessions were there in this pairs event over there in Thailand?
Nine
sessions. Nine. It's a lot of drag, and you just snuck home by a little bit.
It was very hairy. It was very hairy at one stage. Yeah, our percentages took a dip when William had a migraine, and it lasted for 2 days. So two sessions, but he soldiered on.
I think there was a 47 and a 48, and you dropped down to third at that point.
I know. We just happened to start with the pair that was ahead of us by a little bit. And when I spoke to them at the end of the last session, he said that they had had a mare of the day. We snuck in.
I better just quickly go. The Akarana Swiss pairs, the winners of that were June Lay and Kevin Hu. And second were Blair Fisher with Liz Fisher.
Very cool. Go Blair. But, had a good weekend.
And of course, yeah, so this week, we've got the Hamilton Swiss Pairs, which is online. We've been talking about the entries for that. Last I looked, it was about 28 tables or something. So it was pretty huge, but I'm just going to have a quick look while I'm talking to you to see if there's any more. Oh, it looks like there are some more. 31 and a half tables.
Ooh.
So when our reserve pair gets in there, we'll be up to 32.
Isn't that great numbers?
That's pretty good, all right. So there you go. When do the entries close? We're doing this on Monday night, and I think they might close tonight, actually.
Oh, okay. Right. Oh, well, that's excellent. It's the power of the online game, isn't it?
We're recording this at 9 o'clock on a Monday night, guys, so there's 2 hours to go at this point, 31 and a half tables.
By the time you hear this, it's done and dusted.
Yeah, by the time you hear this, it's too late. When are you winging your way back to New Zealand shores?
I leave Hong Kong Sunday night, and I'll be back in the country Monday morning.
Oh, so you've got another nearly a week there?
Yeah.
You're going to be shopping in Hong Kong, or what are you going to be doing?
At the moment, I'm Nana Mouse duty. So our granddaughter is asleep at the moment. She's due to wake up in an hour, so we can't talk that long. Playing some bridge on Wednesday and Friday. Be great. I'm playing at the Ladies Recreational Club, which is the club that I've always played at before. But then I'm going to go and play over in Kowloon at the Hong Kong Club with someone else on Friday. Yeah.
Well, that's going to be very interesting.
It will be.
We'll want to hear all about it next week.
Since you were mentioning about on NZB website, I see that Mike and Pam went across the ditch.
Look at the VCC teams, the Victor Champion Cup with Warren Laser and Pauline Gumby.
And I see on NZB, Pam still got her bridge coach poster up.
Yeah, I see that. So you're heading back to New Zealand. Now, what bridge have you got on when you get back?
None at all. Oh, sorry. Yes, I do. I have a game of rubber bridge to play. Yep.
And it's possible we're looking for some reserve players for the following 2 weeks in the Hamilton Swiss Pairs.
Oh, right. Okay. Can certainly be one of them.
I will let our tournament organiser know that. I'm sure he'll appreciate it.
Now, one thing I was talking about, the New Zealand Congress is coming up. William is keen to come across. Him and Giddy said, it's not too far away. I said, it's blooming ages ago.
We have got another event coming up here on Friday, and you're not going to be back in time for it. And that is the Matariki fundraising Swiss Pairs. That's for the players that are going overseas. So there's a 5A online event being held on Friday, which is a holiday here. And there's also the intermediate junior Swiss Pairs being held online the same day. So if they're listening to this on a Wednesday, it's not too late to enter. I'm sure they'll be happy to get another entry.
Yeah, for sure. That'll be good.
I think it's just $30 to play, and you can play from your lounge. Bargain.
Or you can make a donation,
Or you can still make a donation. Yep.
which is what I'll probably end up doing.
You're not going to be back in the country in time to play, are you?
No, but I could play from over here. Now, your next tournament, apart from the one Swiss Pairs during the week, what is your next big tournament you're looking at?
Playing in the Matariki one online.
Yep.
After that, not too much until the oh, well, there is the National Swiss Pairs on the 5th of July being held in Tauranga, so
Oh.
that'll be a good event.
Right.
So
Okay.
that's face to face in Tauranga. The following week, Hamilton's having their 5A teams. That's not a big event, but I'll be playing in that one. After that, Auckland have their two 10A events in the same weekend of July. I'm
Yep.
probably not going to play both days there, but they've got a teams event and a pairs event.
My name is Gavin Wolpert. I'm born in Toronto, Canada, to a bridge playing family. Lived in Toronto and trained on the Canadian junior bridge team, and then moved now to Florida, where I live with my wife and my three kids playing professional bridge.
What do you play when partner opens a minor and they overcall Notrum? So the first things first is when partner opens and they overcall a Notrum, anytime you have 10 or more points, you would just always start with a penalty double. Okay, no matter what system I'm agreeing to play with my partners, under any circumstances, when my partner opens the bidding and the opponents overcall a Notrum, I'm going to make a penalty double with 10 points because my partner showed an opening bid. They overcalled a Notrum showing 16 to 18, or for good 15 to 18, and I have 10. I know that the last person has absolutely nothing. So I will always double with 10 points. So if you start with that idea, understanding that doubles penalty, and everybody should have this as a standard penalty double. There's a few very important standard penalty doubles. This is one of the most completely standard. Everybody you sit down with, this double is penalty. They overcalled a no trump. We double as penalty. So if you're always going to double with 10 points, that's where you start. Then your two level bids going to be worse hands because you're going to double when you have the 10 point hand. So whenever you bid at the two level, so if you're playing completely standard, the completely standard way to play over one no trump is natural everything. Two hearts natural, two spades natural. So if I had a hand like this would be a perfect hand to bid two hearts to show hearts. Seems crazy because you only have 4 points, but you've got to remember your partner's got an opening bid. So you're kind of covered. And this is just the kind of hand where you're probably not going to beat one no trump, and there's a good chance you're going to make two hearts or maybe go down very few. So you want to get in the habit of bidding on these types of hands when they overcall one no trump. So other than that, what has been discovered is that this hand would also really like to bid. But when you only have a five card suit, it's pretty dangerous bidding to the two level with only a five card suit because what if partner's got a singleton and they're not going to know the difference between whether you have five or six or seven. So over time, people realize that it's actually really, really, really useful to have a bid that shows both majors after one club, one no trump. Different people do it different ways. Some people play something called same suit stamen. And what that would mean is that bidding partner's minor would actually say to partner, I have both majors. Some people play something called Mitchell stamen, where when it goes a diamond and no trump, that you always bid two clubs to show both majors. What I play here is I play the same system when my partner opens a minor and they overcall one no trump. I play the same system that I play over a one no trump opening, which is I play multi-landy. So I play two club shows both majors. Two diamonds says I have either hearts or spades. Two hearts says I have hearts in a minor. And two spades says I have spades in a minor. So that's what I would play with my partners. It's just something you kind of have to agree on. you're not giving the opponents misinformation. When I'm opening those unorthodox one nose, I'm still looking at them like 15 to 17 balanced. I'm not doing it to deceive the opponents by any means. I'm doing it because I believe my hand is worth the same number of tricks as a typical 15 to 17 point no trump. It's not deceptive, and it's not something that the opponents can really be deceived by. Like if your opponent's opening a no trump with a six card minor and 13 point, it's usually not going to matter. Like I don't win a lot of boards by opening one no trump with 13 and the opponent's thinking, oh, they've got a strong hand, I'm going to stay out and not get involved. That doesn't really happen in practice. All that happens is my partner bids some number of no trumps and we make that number of tricks because my trick taking potential of my hand was exactly what I described of 15 to 17 points. It might have been that my tricks are coming from my length instead of high cards. No, I don't alert them because my partner is expecting 15 to 17 points or a good 14 to 17. That's what I announced my one no trumps as, a good 14 to 17. So which means I upgrade some hands. And that's something that you should just always assume is happening, that people are able to upgrade hands. We're taught bridge in a very rigid way where everything needs to be exactly in point range. But in reality, if you think about what we're doing in bidding and bridge, is we are trying to convey the number of tricks our hand is worth to our partner. Right. And sometimes our tricks are coming from high cards and sometimes our tricks are coming from our length. And just as a matter of fact, on that hand, where you guys were all in agreement with me that we needed to jump to three spades on that one hand where we had a singleton and we were adding support points. That's exactly what we were doing. We were reevaluating our hand for our trick-taking potential. We said, well, we have a singleton, and so we're going to take a couple extra tricks than our high card suggests. And so we were upgrading our hand to be a three-spade bid. That's all we're doing is we're trying to convey our hand to our partner. We're not trying to deceive our opponents. We're trying to convey our hand. So that's completely legal in the bridge to evaluate your hand. If you're doing it destructively, if you're psyching, that's a whole nother animal. But if you're doing it constructively, trying to get to the right contract, there's nothing wrong with it at all. And you don't need to pre-alert. The number of 13.1 no's that I've opened this year, probably like five. And most of them only happened when I was playing high level bridge. So it's not really even, and they're just used to it. Like in my circles, 13.6 card suits is just kind of a normal thing among expert players. So at the bridge club, I might not even do it. I'm not looking to cause trouble. Last thing is when my partner opens one of a major and they overcall one no trump, that's different. Now you don't need a way to show both majors, and it's much more common that you're going to actually support your partner to two hearts because partner's got five of them. So over one heart, one no, I don't play any fancy systems. It's just when it goes one of a minor, one no, that I like to play multi-landy. But at a minimum, I agree to play Mitchell Stamen or same suit Stamen. And it's funny, it's one of those things. There's so many of these ridiculous little things that you have to talk about with your partner when you're playing. And that's just one of them. And if you forget and it comes up, you're like, ah, I wish I talked about this. And that happens all the time. And then you talk about it and you become a more established partnership. That's kind of how the game works. Okay, I'm done sharing my screen. I'm glad we got to go over some bridge stuff. See you next time.
Just wondering whether I'm going to mention this, and I think I will. I'm going to sneak it in without actually divulging the main bit of gossip, but I'll tell you the bit of gossip. On the weekend, there was one other event held at Upper Hutt. So it was an 8 BPS at Upper Hutt, won by John Don Bavand and Murray McMillan, second with Charles Kerr and Jack James. They've been happy to be in the money.
To hear this bit of gossip, you have to drop us an email, bridzoneshuffle@gmail.com.
Now here come the judge.
Good morning, Judge Julie. I hear it's sunny today.
Yes, in Auckland anyway. Yeah, it's lovely, actually.
I never participate in the weather forecast usually, but there is blue sky in Hamilton, I'm just telling you.
It's been so wet.
184 millimetres of rain in 5 days in Te Awamutu.
Oh, that's rather wet.
Back to bridge. Mariana's got a tale of somebody who wanted to open one, and then they changed their mind and wanted to open two, and then they changed their mind and passed. It wouldn't have been all right if they hadn't written one and then two on the pad. What happens now?
Yes and no, really. So what defines a bid? When you're making a bid, what do you have to do?
Complete it.
One no trump.
That's right. So yep. NT for no trumps, and that's one of the things about people who have the bad habit of just being lazy and writing N, or the number and the denomination, and that makes a complete bid. If the bid is incomplete, that's not been made. Yes, you can rub it out, and then you can bid two, and yes, you can rub it out, and yes, you can pass. But, and it's a big but, your partner has information they are not entitled to. So they have to effectively pretend that it did not happen. They have to bid the way they would have anyway. The information is given by the bidding and it is given by the play of the cards. It is not given by hesitations, things that people do wrong, make mistakes, or any other thing that occurs when you are told by the director you are not allowed to know. So when your partner alerts something they shouldn't have alerted, or they give an explanation that is incorrect, you are not allowed to know that that has happened. You have to effectively pretend it did not occur and bid your hand according to what was said or not said at the table in the appropriate manner. And it is really, really hard to know that you would have done something different, because some of the time you think, well, I would have done this, but you might not have. And that's where the problems occur with what happens next. Unauthorised information. It doesn't matter. Long hesitation, bidding and crossing out bids that are incomplete. One of the better ones I've seen is someone wrote down 17.
Okay.
And we were playing a precision club opener. So guess how many points my partner had?
Bidding boxes might solve some of those problems.
That was a long time ago, but the opponents are allowed to know that this is what has happened. What they take from that is entirely at their own risk to a large degree. You're not allowed to deliberately mislead. There are other things that come into play there. But if someone writes down 17, your opponents are absolutely entitled to think that they've told you how many points they've got. Point would be that if the person that did this is doing something that stupid, are they really telling you their points, or are they writing down something completely different? Who knows? So unauthorised information means that the partner of the person who's done whatever they've done has to effectively pretend that they did not see or hear or whatever it, okay?
Yeah.
They're not entitled to that information. They have to make bids as though it never happened, and that's where we get into the issue of what's a clear-cut bid, a bid where there might be alternative choices or things like that.
17.
Talking about the bidding box thing solving some of these problems, I played against somebody the other day. It came around to him and he took the pass card out of the box and then he thought about it for a bit. And then he put the pass card in his hand, presumably in between the hearts and the clubs. I don't know where they put the pass. And then thought about it and then finally put the pass card away and bid something. And I did look at his hand later and I thought, he was nowhere close to a pass. He had his partner open the bidding and he had like a 13 count.
Yeah, as I said, you just don't know, do you? So the thing with bidding box cards in a tournament, for example, and really strict events, high level, once you take that bidding card out of the bidding box, you've made the bid. We're relaxed about it at club level because we have people that aren't used to using them. So we tend to use a slightly different way of when the bid has been made and when it hasn't, up to unauthorised information and not. But you have to be really careful. You shouldn't be touching bidding box cards until you are about to take the bid out of the box.
If the bid's out of the box, it's done. That's a bid.
Yeah, but not normally at club level because we have a lot of people who aren't used to it. So we're a bit more relaxed.
What about the pass card? I guess that's the same thing.
It's not a bid, but it's a call. So any call you make. So it's a bad, bad habit. And it's the same with bidding pads. It is a really bad habit to put your pen on the paper to think and then think. You should think and then do what you're going to do. Applies to all of bridge, pretty much. Stop and think.
I have discovered the perfect solution to that during an auction, Mariana. I never think at all. And then I'm fine.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I'm being discreetly quiet.
Yes.
Okay, I have a very quick bidding sequence, which I just discussed with Julie off air, and she's going to respond to this. So the auction went one club double, one diamond pass, then a double, bits of his partner's bid, in case you haven't been paying attention. And then it went pass, three no trumps, pass, pass, pass. What do you think about that, Julie?
Well, Law 36 for all the directors, inadmissible doubles and redoubles. Offender's left-hand opponent calls before rectification of an inadmissible double or redouble, the inadmissible call and all subsequent calls are cancelled, and the auction reverts to the player whose turn it was to call and proceeds as if there was no irregularity. Now, in your case, you're telling me that they played the entire hand. So I think at that point, when it's drawn after the opening letter's been faced, the final contract is scored as if the inadmissible call had not been made. So in this case, the contract, the result, all stand. We would all love to double our partner at some point in our life, but we are just not allowed to. And I've also pointed out that it's one of the things that we don't talk about with beginner's lessons is the blue redouble card, because we don't teach anything to do with redoubles at the beginner level. And I was playing with someone who redoubled my double and they didn't know. And I thought, well, that's probably fair, because when do we teach beginners about what a redouble is and the fact that you can't redouble partners' double?
I've often thought, Mariana, that I'd like to double my teammates, but they're at another table. I'm not allowed to do that either.
No, yeah. We, you'd be very clever if you could.
And there's too many things we could say about Barrick, really.
Julie, are you all prepared for Wednesday night, where you've got 32 tables that you're going to direct online? You're going to cope all right?
I was 31 when I looked yesterday.
31 and a half, so our reserve pair will make it up to 32.
Oh, right, okay. Yes, it should be interesting. So a fair number, but Swiss pairs, I see the field is looking pretty hefty.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I don't know who the bookies are favouring on this one. But wow, what a response. I'm hoping they'll tire themselves out before Matariki on Friday when we're going to be playing. Because, you know, it's Swiss and I need all the help I can get with Swiss.
I think the person most likely to have the exhaustion problems might be the director, though. So, yeah, who knows what she'll be like by Matariki?
Oh, well, we'll see. Cranky might be the answer.
It's a great response, isn't it?
Just great, yeah.
Online Bridge is just so awesome.
There are protagonists who are firmly entrenched on both sides of this table about which is better and which is not. Though I think that a balance has yet to be achieved in what we're doing with them. The interesting thing is online, there's so much of the mechanics that just don't happen. One of the feedbacks you get is how good that is, because you can't revoke and you can't do other things that you might do at various times. But there's certainly a good place for both of them. That is a really, really good response.
We've been holding this tournament face-to-face the last few years, and we've been struggling with 9 or 10 tables. So to get 32 is a really good response from
that point of view. And it's probably a statement about what people would like in some ways.
You'll probably see that more clubs may consider hosting one of their events online during the week, because it's fantastic. Yeah.
The problem, if you want to talk to Rona and whoever is doing the tournament calendar, I could imagine them going rather white at the moment at the thought of trying to arrange no conflict with clubs around the country running sessions over 3 nights for a 5A. Yep. I think there are some issues around the way that that may or may not come out at times.
It's tricky. Yeah. By the way, a big thank you to Akarana, who are not playing this 3 weeks, if anybody's listening. So, and there's a few Akarana members playing on Wednesday night too. So, yeah, thanks to them.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you, Judge Julie. And I will hopefully not see you on Wednesday night, because it'll mean I've done something wrong, probably.
I'm hoping I won't see you too often. So there we go.
Well, good luck to everybody there, and good luck, Judge Julie, on the tournament.
Yeah, thank you, and I hope everyone enjoys themselves. Have a good week.
I had an interesting situation the other day where partner opened one heart, and the next hand bid had made a weak jump of two spades.
Right.
And I had a 21 count, including ace, king, jack of spades, and only two hearts. But I had ace, king of something else. And I thought, well, I'm just going to key card, and then I'm probably going to bid six no trumps, or maybe I'll bid seven no trumps. But anyway, we'll see. So I key card, I bid four no trumps key card, and the hand on my left bid five spades.
Okay.
And I thought, well, this is a lot of, there's a lot going on this hand where a partner's open and I've got a 21 card that sees me. So my partner now bids six hearts. We have methods of answering an ace. This wasn't responding to ace asking. So in the end, I just bid seven no trumps.
Yep.
And the dummy went down and I had 16 tricks. Or might have been 17 because they led a spade into my ace king jack. So my partner had nine hearts to the ace king queen jack 10. And I had three spade tricks. That was 12. We had ace, king, and the other two. There was 16 tricks. They wouldn't let me carry them over to the next hand, though, Mariana. That was disappointing.
You need to play that hand when you're at home and you make the rules. I'll tell you, there was a peculiar hand also in the last session. So my left-hand opponent opens one spade, partner passes, and then my right-hand opponent goes, this is a bit of a weird hand, and promptly writes down seven hearts.
Sorry, tell me the option again. It went what?
One spade by my left-hand opponent, passed by partner. This is seven a weird hand by right hand, and puts down seven hearts. And it's absolutely cold. It's just like, wow, that was good. So somebody who took their time to answer actually bid into seven no trump. There was only one pair that only bid four hearts because they didn't know how to bid it. But she could count all the tricks on her hand. She didn't even care that her partner opened.
The seven no trump hand I told you about, it was one funny thing that happened. So her auction goes one heart, two spades, four no trumps, five spades, six hearts, pass, seven no trumps. And then we pass back to my partner who had these nine hearts. And she actually hesitated and looked at it. And I'm thinking, well, what can she do? There's not much point. There's nothing you can do over seven no trumps. When she put down all those hearts, I figured out why. She was worried that maybe I didn't have any hearts. But I had a couple.
Yeah, she says, I want to bid eight hearts, Barry.
Well, she would have made it too, because she had the Queen of Diamonds as well. That would have been trick 17. Wow. I mean, she could have probably made, she could have made 12 hearts.
Isn't it funny, these big hands? They don't come often, but when they do, they're pretty memorable.
It is a waste, though. All the times you've looked at dummy and you haven't got enough tricks and you've got to muck around trying to set up a side set or do this, and then you get a hand like this where you've got 17 tricks and you can only take 13 of them. What a waste.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe you should ask for your money back. Well, take care, everybody, and we'll see you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.